important, I think, for all of us to understand. And what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Anybody ever heard of that, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And what does that mean? And so we're going to start with that as the first question. So I'd ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. And I have a microphone here. So if anybody has a question, I'm going to bring it back to you so that everybody can hear what is being asked. Jake? Yes. And so that Jake can also pick it up on the recording. But that way anybody else can hear any question that you might want to ask of me or anybody else, any comments we make. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to begin at verse 22. And this is in the context of Jesus had been performing several miracles. One is the disciples had been walking through the fields on the Sabbath day of wheat, and they were hungry. And as they were walking through, they picked a cup of wheat, and they were feeding themselves. And the Pharisees said, "You can't do that. It's a Sabbath day. You're working." And then there was a man whose hand had been crippled, paralyzed, withered, and Jesus healed him, and it happened to be on the Sabbath day. So both of those things had happened on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees had said, "You can't do that." They had their mind made up that that was wrong. It was in that context that we pick up this, where Jesus says, where the scripture says, "And they brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. And all the people were astonished and said, 'Could this be the son of David?'" Now keep that in mind. That's the context of this. There was a man possessed by a demon. He could not see, he was blind, and he could not hear. They brought him to Jesus. Jesus cast the devil out, the demons out. Now he could see and he could hear. The people were astonished by that. And they're beginning to say, and they saw that and recognized this, and they said, "This could be the Messiah." Because they knew what the scriptures had prophesied. And the scripture had prophesied in the Old Testament that one of the things Messiah would be able to do is to restore sight to the blind and hearing and all of that. So they said, "This could be the Messiah." That's the context. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city of household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can another enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man, then he can rob his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I say that every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us, and Lord, we ask your blessing on this time together as we just discuss and learn from you and one another. And Lord, we thank you for your presence and your Holy Spirit who is with us to guide and direct us. And Lord, we honor you and we reverence you. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit within us that you've sent to guide and direct our lives. May you be glorified through Christ in whom we pray. Amen. In response to Jesus' healing of casting out this demon, the Pharisees said, "This can't be of God." The people recognized the Spirit of God must be working through him and he must be the Messiah. And the Pharisees said, "No way. This man can't be from God. He drove out a demon, so he must be from Satan. It's by Satan's power that he did that." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said, "If anyone can commit any other sin or can even blaspheme against the Son himself, but anybody who blasphemes against the Spirit cannot be forgiven." So it shows us the seriousness of this sin. So we want to begin with our discussion here. What is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Why is it so serious? That's the one question we want to discuss. And the other one we want to discuss is, why can't this sin be forgiven? Of all the sins that we commit, every other sin that can be committed can be forgiven, but why can blasphemy against the Holy Spirit not be? Do you ever wonder that? You wonder that? Anybody here have that same question? So let's start with the first one. What does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? What do you think? We're going to have a discussion here. Based on what Jesus is teaching us. I'll give you a definition of blasphemy, maybe help you. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, blasphemy means the act of insulting and showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. That's a dictionary definition of blasphemy. But what do you think it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Anybody wants to speak, raise your hand. I'll bring this to you so everybody can hear you. No one wants to say anything in the microphone. Is that it? Huh?
I said that was my question.
Oh, that's your question. Gary, just so we can get this so people can hear on the recording, that's basically it, and people can hear here.
Is it on?
Yep.
Okay, the Holy Spirit is what works in us to bring us to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And all we have to do is reject repentance, and I think that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And it's the unforgivable sin.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Okay.
So to piggyback on what Gary said, when you receive Christ and you repent, you receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no way for repentance to occur.
Exactly. And if repentance can't occur, you can't be forgiven.
And you can't be forgiven.
Right.
So that negates everything that Christ came to do.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anybody else? What do you think? Kim and Gary both had very good insights there. Thelma? Question? So if people can hear your question, we can...
In other words, if you became a Christian,
uh-huh.
You know, you can't do that.
We're going to get to that. Okay. Good question. Thelma, good question. Can a Christian actually commit this sin? I don't need it. That's right. Sorry. You're right. I don't need it. You need it. Can a Christian actually commit this sin? That's a good question. We'll get to that third. Anybody else, what do you think it means to blaspheme? And then we'll look at that. Good insights here. In context, what were the Pharisees doing? Whenever Jesus had healed this man, the people were recognizing it was the work of God. Right, Kim said they were negating that God could be working through him, that this was actually of God. And they said, this can't be. And so blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is that very thing of rejecting him and having a heart so hardened that when we feel that God's not working through that person, that can't be of God. Attributing to Satan what Jesus was actually, what God was doing. Notice Jesus said, through the Spirit of God, he said, I have driven out these demons by the Spirit of God. And they were attributing it to the spirit of Satan. And that was a very serious thing to do. Their hearts were so hardened that the Messiah was standing in front of them. The people were recognizing, hey, this could be the Messiah. But the religious leaders who should have known, hearts were so hardened, they said, because of their own preconceived way they thought God should work, they said, this can't be of God. And they attributed it to Satan and ended up committing what Jesus said was a sin that could not be forgiven. Yes, Nick, I'll bring this back to you so people can hear what you have to say.
I initially find this to be incredibly confusing because An unsaved person does not have discernment.
Okay, that's
and
true.
And will not be able to tell if it's magic or voodoo or from the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
From God, from the devil. The scripture tells us that they don't have that discernment. They cannot understand the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole concept of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, to me alone, is somewhat confusing.
Because of that.
Yes.
You're right. An unsaved person cannot understand those things unless the Holy Spirit reveals it. And that's true. And so to answer that question, here was the Lord Jesus himself in their presence being revealed to them, but they refused to acknowledge it. The Holy Spirit was active through Christ, but they refused to acknowledge it. He was revealing himself, but they refused to accept that. They refused him, yes, because they refused to acknowledge that this was actually from God. Right. Yes. Yeah. When they refuse to acknowledge it comes from God and they attribute it to something else, especially to Satan. Or if someone says, God can't be, this isn't of God. No. So, do I see another hand somewhere? No? Okay. So I think that's why it's important to understand it in the context here of what was happening, that God was working through Christ, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders who should have had the insight to know and recognize this was of God, right in their very presence, refused to accept that.
So does that mean the Pharisees weren't saved?
Yeah.
And because they didn't have that faith?
Right. Yep.
And could they ever be saved?
Could they ever be saved as long as they were committing that attitude? No. Jesus said, if their hearts changed.
Yeah,
but Jesus said here that it can't be forgiven.
So does that mean like a Christian can blaspheme and then realize what they did and be forgiven for that, but that says in scripture that it's not.
Okay. Kim's question is, can a Christian
blaspheme against the Spirit and then be forgiven? The one question we wanted to talk about, is there a difference between cursing and blasphemy? Peter, remember, cursed the Lord. Whenever he was denied Jesus, it said he called down curses. But yet he was forgiven for that. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is whenever a person's heart is so hardened and rejected that they refuse to acknowledge this is of God at all. And they can't accept that God is speaking to them or God is working in their life. And they get to the point where they reject that over and over. And because Gary mentioned it, the Holy Spirit's role, we talked about a couple weeks ago, is to bring conviction of sin. That's part of why he's in the world, is to bring conviction of sin. And when he convicts a person and they have a heart that refuses to acknowledge or to listen to that and to listen to him, if he convicts of sin and a person refuses to accept that, can they ever repent?
No, because they don't know what to repent for.
No, can they ever be forgiven? No, because they refuse to acknowledge the fact that they need to. And so the Holy Spirit's role is to convict and to bring a person to that need, as you said, Nick, that they need Christ. But when they refuse to accept that, they can't be drawn then if they refuse to listen. So if they refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit's work of conviction and bring repentance, if a person doesn't repent of their sin, will they ever be forgiven? No, that's what Jesus meant when he said that this sin cannot be forgiven, because conviction leads to repentance. Repentance leads to forgiveness. And it's the Holy Spirit's role to bring that conviction. Does that make sense? Does that clear that up for people? Or make it more confusing? But can a Christian commit this sin? I don't think so. Because if you have a heart that's really seeking after God, that's been sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to blaspheme against him. You're not going to reject him. It's basically that ultimate sin of rejecting him and then not allowing him to speak to us in our life and saying, I'm not listening.
So if somebody would do that and they are if somebody would do that and they're a professing Christian, or they say they're a Christian, are they a Christian or not?
It's a good question. And to answer that, let's look down a little bit farther in the context here of verse 33 of where we are in chapter 12. And this might help answer Kim's question. He said, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree will be recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So basically, Jesus is saying, we'll be known by the fruit we show and by what comes out of our mouth. So hon, their life will show it. It will come out in the way they, in the fruit of their life. It will show whether they're a truly believer or not. They can say that, or they can say they reject, but it will comes out in the way they live. The Pharisees claimed that they were followers of God, but their lives were showing, and their attitude was showing that they were not.
So if we as Christians see this in another, quote, brother or sister, do we approach that issue, or do we just leave it up to God, or... Because then we would be judging that person, and that's not really our place to be the judge.
Well, we're to encourage, where the Bible says that we're to approve, we're to reprove or admonish other believers. God is the judge, but if we see another believer there where we need to admonish them in the faith, we're to do that. An admonishment is saying, hey, I see this in your life that this may be, this is what I'm seeing, is this admonition is different than judging. Any other questions? Any other thoughts on this? How about anything else on the Holy Spirit we've talked about that and throughout the series of the summer, of anything we addressed that you had a question about that you can remember? I know it's hard to remember from week to week, but can a Christian commit this sin? No, I don't think you have to worry about that. He's talking here to unbelievers, those who have a heart so hardened. And so as Nick mentioned about for those who don't know Christ and say statements out of ignorance, the Bible says that no one can say Jesus be praised unless the Holy Spirit gives that. But he said those who are in darkness are blinded, and the prince of this world has them blinded. They can't see the truth. So for those that you know that don't know Jesus, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit will take that blindness away, that they can see and recognize the truth and have a heart that is accepting of that. No one can come to unless the Father draws through the Spirit. Yes, Nick, you have something else to say?
You just said that the Holy Spirit can take away the blindness.
Yes.
I have trouble with that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
if that's true, then the Holy Spirit could just say, you, take away your blindness. But you are going to stay blind.
Okay.
I think it's up to the individual
Okay, that gets to another whole discussion about whether someone's predestined or not to be saved. But I believe that the Holy Spirit can take that blindness away, but the people have to choose whether to listen to it or not. It's still their choice of whether they're going to accept. And that's where I've put in the context of the blasphemy against the Spirit. God was standing in front of them. The Holy Spirit was working through Jesus. He was revealing himself to them, but they didn't want to acknowledge it. They didn't want to accept that. And so it's still the choice, Nick, of whether they'll want to accept it or not. The Holy Spirit can reveal himself, but unless they want to accept and come to him, come to Christ through him, they can't be saved. His role is to bring people to Christ, to convict, to bring people their need of Christ. And he can do that, but people have to acknowledge it, or and get into another whole discussion, which we're not going to do now. But anything else? Yes, God can harden hearts. It says that he hardened Pharaoh's heart for his purpose, you know, and he can do that. Or someone can harden, God can harden people's hearts, or they can harden themselves. And people can harden themselves that they can refuse to acknowledge the Spirit too.
We have to remember, it's God's plan.
Yes. Right. Part of his overall plan and purpose, as he said that in Romans, you know, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will show love, compassion on whom I have compassion. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart for his purpose. On the other case, the case of Paul, he took the blinders off of Paul's eyes, the blindness away, so that he could see him. So he can do that, but it's, again, ultimately God's purpose and our choice. And we fall in that. So basically, the bottom line is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a rejection of him, rejection of God, seeing God at work, and seeing God at work and not acknowledging that, and not listening to him when he speaks, and not letting them bring the person to repentance so they can come to acknowledge their need of Jesus. And that's why it can't be forgiven, and any other sin can. As we close up, anything else? Aber, so they can hear you. Using the word coincidence.
Right, in regards of using that word coincidence. Uh-huh. Or just praising somebody and saying, oh, you're so good, you show so much grace and this and that. And if we don't give God the glory, using the words coincidence when something happens, instead of giving God the glory and saying to somebody that you're giving the praise
to somebody else,
you really should be giving God the glory working through that person and not that person.
That's good.
That you're such a good person. It's not the person so good. It's that God has changed them through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And working through them to be able to do what they're doing, which in natural life, we're usually a self-centered people. We can't really give as much as we do if it weren't for the Holy Spirit working through us.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. I like that. What Abra's saying there, this is a way it can apply to our life, is that when God is working through somebody, we see God at work and we don't give him the glory for it. We either take the glory for ourselves or give the glory to somebody else. And it's a way we're in a form kind of blaspheming him because we're not giving him the glory that he is due and acknowledging that God is at work. Yes, Jody?
Like your conscience. I believe your conscience is the Holy Spirit talking to you. Do you agree?
Your conscience is not the Holy Spirit talking to you. God can work through your conscience. Every person has a conscience, but that they don't have the Holy Spirit unless they're saved.
They don't always listen to it.
Yeah, but they don't have the Holy Spirit unless they're saved.
Right.
So every person has a conscience. God put that within a person to bring them to a need of him. And he can speak through their conscience, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's Make sense? I mean, that's why Paul says in Romans, everyone doesn't have an excuse. No one has an excuse because they have conscience. They can listen to it.
Right.
But a lot of people don't. But that's not the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's something God placed in us to make us see our need of him. Because everybody has a conscience, but only Christians have the Holy Spirit within. Okay, another question over here, another comment.
Yep. Verse 32 says, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven.
Yeah.
But whoever speaks against the Spirit will not be forgiven.
Right.
They're both God.
Yeah.
Why?
Good question. And I think the answer to that is because the Holy Spirit helps us see our need of Christ. Jesus, when he hung on the cross and they spoke all manner of evil against him, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they spoke all kinds of blasphemy against him, and Jesus forgave them for that. But the Holy Spirit's role is to make a person see their need of Jesus for forgiveness. And if they refuse to acknowledge him and listen to him, they can't ever come to Christ to be forgiven. So I think that's what he means. Good questions. So I hope you found this interesting and helpful. The board said to do this every 3 months or so, just do a little something different and have a little more informal time. And I thought today would be the day as we focus in on that. So the Holy Spirit is within us. And the main thing is, listen to him as he speaks to us and as he guides and directs us. And when we know he's at work within our life, acknowledge that and give God the glory. And don't take that glory for ourselves, or don't reject what he is saying to us. But know that that is coming from him, and listen to his voice. Yes, Gene.
What were you saying about conscience?
What I was saying about conscience is that God placed in a creation, in every person, a conscience, which is that ability to know right and wrong. Every person has that. But that is not the same as the Holy Spirit. Only Christians have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can enhance and work through our conscience. But conscience is not the Holy Spirit. Make sense?
I think so. I think I know what you're saying. The Holy Spirit can use your conscience.
He can use your conscience, yes, once you're saved.
Right.
But the conscience is not the Holy Spirit.
Right. No, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good question. Thanks for your questions and participation. That's what makes this interesting and makes it beneficial to everybody, so it's not just me, and we learn from one another, and we share what God is sharing to all of us, and we can benefit as part of the family of God. We all learn from each other. That's part of the priesthood of believers, that we all grow together in what God says to us. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit within us to give us insight, your work within us. And Lord, may we always be aware that you are at work around us and you're at work in the world. And through your Holy Spirit, help us to be able to recognize that, what is of you, and not attribute that to something else or to someone else. But Lord, the glory goes to you. And Lord, that when you speak in our heart, that we don't reject you or listen to what you have to say, but we listen and we obey and follow, Lord, the teaching and direction of your Holy Spirit, who you've given us for wisdom, insight, and direction in our life. So thank you, Lord, for your truth, for this time together this morning that we could just share informally and learn from one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. As we close this morning, I ask you to take your hymnal, go to number 60. And our invitation this week is to take the name of Jesus with us wherever we go, and to take his name along with us, that precious name that we carry, that stand together. And this is our motivation for the week. Carry his name throughout our life this week into the world.